Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun.
Top of the hour to everybody. 5:01 is the time. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. The 49er himself, the San Francisco treat.
I'm sourdough Sam?
The San Francisco treat, he
said. I would love to be sourdough Sam.
What is that from? What are
San
we
Francisco treat? Rice-a-roni. That was an old ad slogan. This Rice-a-roni, the San Francisco treat.
That's what I remember. Okay.
That's you, Scraby. That's you, Scraby.
I'm Rice-a-roni.
He's a happy guy today.
San Francisco treat.
Happy guy today. And if you missed it earlier, we played...
I'm gonna need you to pull that
Twitter
sound if we can find it.
I still have it,
which
yes.
is about 45 seconds of him ranting and raving.
Oh
and
my God.
Excitement after the game the other night. You posted it on Twitter, right?
So Twitter and Instagram at Matt Scraby.
All right, so just check out at Matt Scraby because a lot of people say, you know, well, how was Scraby? How did he get through the game Saturday night? I did call you after the Dallas game.
You did. I was waiting for your
phone
call.
I didn't call you after this game because I watched it on such tape delay that by the time I found out you won, I really wasn't in the mood to talk to you.
Let me ask Tony, because Tony texted me not on the group text. And was that because you knew that Chris was probably watching?
I didn't want to ruin it for Chris.
Yeah, that's good.
That's the first thing I thought of now that we talked about it after last weekend. I was like, man, I think I might have ruined it. Thankfully, he didn't look at. He's smart. He doesn't look at his phone.
I don't look at my phone when I tape games.
It's tough for me not to look at my phone. So I immediately, when I got ready to text, I was like, I'm gonna send this personally to
just
Matt
because
I don't want to ruin anything.
I do have a kind of a fun. Go ahead, Scraby.
No. Well, sorry. Tony was texting me, and I was like, I can't even watch because I was in the backyard. Tony texted me, and I thought the play had already happened before I ran back inside. So Tony did not spoil it for me, but I was like trying to look at my phone at Tony, but I couldn't because I was too scared that he was ahead of me, so I wouldn't look at my phone. It was
somehow
a mess.
I've noticed that when we're all watching games together here in the studio on various tablets, and you know, Tony seems to get the information like 3 seconds before
does.
I do, because he'll go, "What a shot by LeBron!" And I'll look around, and then 3 seconds later, LeBron will make a shot.
Yeah.
I'm like, "How does Tony know?"
I don't know.
Already?
Yeah, I don't
he's
know
got
how that works
quick,
either.
He's got quick access to it. I thought it was a telling. This is my life in a nutshell, and it happened to do with the Buccaneer Ram game yesterday. I had to referee basketball yesterday. They're playing some Sunday games now to help with the COVID scheduling. So I had a couple of games to referee yesterday at 3 o'clock. So I watched the Ram game until I had to leave. And when I left, it was 27-3. The Rams had just scored that touchdown to go up 27-3. But I did tape the rest of the game. And then I was going to come back after officiating and watch it. Although I figured, you know, I'll probably just fast forward through it. So I'm at the game. I'm reffing. And I'm getting ready to put a ball in play.
Are you by the stands?
By the fan sideline.
Oh, man.
And I hear somebody say to somebody else, Tampa Bay, baby.
That is the worst.
And then I put the ball in play. Now I'm trying to referee, but what's going through my mind is Tampa Bay, baby. Man, they were losing 27-3. There is no way.
Yeah.
And I'm going, is he celebrating they won? Is he making fun of his friend because they lost? So in any case, it made the game a whole lot more interesting when I got home to start watching it again. I'm like, maybe Tampa Bay is going to get back in this game.
First of all, you are the consummate professional because I know for a fact, had that been me and I heard that, my head would have not been into that refereeing that game the rest of the time.
It was tough. It was tough. So when I got home, I flipped the game on, and I'm like, I don't care what that fan said. There's just no way Tampa Bay is winning this game. And, of course, we all know what happened. They come back. And how many times in the game did the Rams seal the game and then blow it again? Like, they got the Buccaneers fumbled on a strip sack by Von Miller, and then the next play, the guy hikes it over Matt Stafford's head.
Yeah.
Then they got a stop again, and then Matt Gay misses a field goal that would have made it 30-13, and that would have wrapped the game up. So every time I was like, okay, no, the fan, I don't know what the fan was talking about, but no way Tampa Bay win. And, of course, when Tampa Bay tied it up, I thought, oh, my goodness, they actually are going to win the game. So then I was completely stunned when the Rams went down and scored.
I tell you what, there were a couple of things that I thought of during that game, or after that game was over. A, the Rams defense won't get nearly as much credit as they deserve for what they did because of the offensive blunders that they had. I mean, they had to go back on the field against Brady after they pretty much had Brady moving off his spot all game long.
All day.
Donald was a problem. Von Miller was a problem. That whole line did a terrific job. And that's how they really won that game, is that they only had to send four. Occasionally they sent a fifth. And when they sent a fifth, they always got to them when they needed to.
Yeah.
The other thing I thought about was karma. Cam Akers last week rolls over my man, Buda Baker, waves to him, or tells him to stay down. Granted, he didn't know. But that was the first thing I thought when he got that ball punched out. Like, maybe, you know, that wasn't the best thing to do. Karma kind of came back and got you. Now, fortunately, Stafford bailed him out, him and Cooper. By the way, we were talking last week about Cooper Kupp and his knowledge of running routes because his dad was a quarterback, and that's how he taught him to run routes is through the quarterback's eye. The way he made, I think it was the former player's son.
I think it was Winfield.
Winfield. The way he made Winfield bite just slightly on that in route and then headed up the field, it was a thing of beauty. Man, there was so much good route running and passing throughout that weekend, man. It was fun to watch.
It was awesome. Al Michaels was saying over and over again on the broadcast that he really feels Cooper Kupp deserves to be in the MVP conversation. I don't think it's a horrible comment. I mean,
it's not.
The guy was absolutely astonishing this year, and he was again this weekend. The games were just spectacular, fantastic. We've talked plenty about the Bills and the Chiefs and the Rams and the Bucks, and of course the other great game, the Bengals and the Titans.
There's one more, but we have to. We have to. Chris says it, and then out of the corner of my eye, I see him looking at me. We do have to update everybody on baseball,
Yes, quick update. Go ahead, Scraby. Why don't you do it? Since Tony's not really empowered to do so, and I really don't want to do so.
Okay. Yeah, you've already said you're not talking about it until it's back, but today was a big step for everybody. They met in person for the first time, and they're going to be meeting in person tomorrow again. I guess, according to Evan Drellich of The Athletic, he said that they spent 2 hours today, and it was heated conversations, but the MLBPA did drop its request to introduce an age-based free agency system. So they withdraw that from the proposal in one of the three major areas that Major League Baseball had shown no interest in changing. So basically, people were trying to get paid earlier in their career. And it's because right now it's
6 years.
6 years. And so
they were trying to get it to five.
Yes, they were trying to get it to five, or they were trying to get to a certain age, like you're 30 and a half, you're 29 and a half. Well, the MLBPA took that off the table, and that is the major news today. But at least they're talking, and at least they're talking in person, and at least they're talking in person 2 days in a row, and they're not fighting in public.
And they got another meeting scheduled.
Right, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not, you know, it's not the kind of news I want, because I just want them to get it over with. And to me, you know, you saw what happened in the NFL this weekend. That was pretty incredible theater. And I realize that in most circles, baseball has fallen behind football as, quote, America's pastime. But you don't want to lose any more ground. And after what we saw in football, Baseball's got to do it.
I just want to point this out because I think there's just this misnomer about baseball and labor relations. They haven't had a work stoppage since 1994. Both basketball and football have at least had two in that time frame. So there is time for this to be fixed. I mean, in terms of what you're talking about, Chris, that has a lot more to do with the game itself and how it plays out on TV than it does these type of situations. So
perhaps
I hope.
But you know what's funny, Tony? You said that they haven't had a labor stoppage since 94, and you're totally right. Those are facts. But I think a lot of people are thinking back to last year and the issues that were had coming back from the COVID, and people kind of hold that against baseball. Maybe through no fault of baseball, but I think a lot of people are still saying, God, you couldn't get your act together last year. Now you're having
2 years ago.
This year. Right, 2 years ago with the COVID. So I think in the minds of people, reality doesn't play out correctly sometimes.
That is somewhat of a problem.
Let's hope that anyway, they're good steps taken. By the way, the Hall of Fame.
Ooh, big day tomorrow.
You guys will be announced tomorrow. And according to something I just saw put up there, Hall of Fame voting tracker.
Yeah, 54% of the vote they've tracked.
They've been able to track a lot of the voters, and it looks like Barry Bonds, according to that, has a shot, like a real shot of getting in. Same for Clemens.
Yeah.
And
David Ortiz.
Same for David Ortiz. Schilling is very close. So it's going to be tomorrow that baseball will announce its Hall of Famer. To that, and Buster Olney is going to join the program tomorrow. Talk about baseball's Hall of Fame.
Mind you, real quick before Scraby gets back to the Big Five. Dang, what was my point going to be?
Something with Buster.
Oh, 54. 50, remember, that is just 54, I think, 0.4%. And that's basically guys like Heyman that have posted theirs on Twitter. They've been able to track that kind of information. So
half the people, they have their ballots. Half the people, they don't have their ballots. So keep that in mind. But tomorrow they will announce the new inductees into baseball's Hall of Fame. All right, let's finish up the Big Five, Scraby, with the Grayson Allen story.
Number five.
Yes, because if you didn't see it over the weekend, Grayson Allen is a Milwaukee Buck.
He's also a kook. Sorry.
He may be a kook, but Milwaukee Buck, and he was involved in a play over the weekend that was not very good for him, for everybody, and especially for Bulls guard Alex Caruso. Because Alex Caruso was running down the court, and then Grayson Allen went up to meet him and try to defend him, but he ended up taking basically Caruso's head and throwing it at the ground in the middle of the air. It was a bad scene. You could hear him smack and hit the ground, Caruso, that is. And you guys tell me, Caruso's out 6 to 8 weeks with a broken wrist after that. So I know that Tony was talking about this earlier, that Michelle Beadle, I believe, tweeted out that the penalties for flagrant fouls like this and bad fouls should be eye for an eye. If you cause someone to miss games due to injury, you should have to miss games too because you caused that injury. And so if they can't play, you can't play. Chris, first off, this is your guy, the Bulls, Alex Caruso. I know that you love him now. Should the punishment be eye for an eye?
No, I don't think so. Honestly, I'd love to see Grayson Allen suspended for the rest of the year because I thought it was a really dirty hit. And Grayson Allen has a history of dirty plays. But that's aside. No, I could honestly see you getting to a very slippery slope here.
Mm-hmm.
You get a player hurt that's a bit player. Let's say Jokic, who pushed, what was it, Markieff Morris?
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Morris was out for a while.
Like 35 games.
35 games. Morris could stay out for 35 more games and keep Jokic on the sideline for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
He could be out
you're
for the
do
year,
an eye
quote
for an
unquote.
Eye thing. So I think you just run a slippery slope. I think, honestly, I think more than one game was due Grayson Allen for this hit because it was really flagrant. Caruso unfortunately got hurt as a result of the fall. And Grayson Allen needs a message sent to him just personally because he's been doing this since college. And it's his cheap shot. And if you watch, I did watch the game that night because it was a Bulls thing. And he just didn't care. Like, they told him he had a flagrant two, ejected him from the game, and he's smiling and patting fives with some guy. I mean, He doesn't get it. It doesn't look tight to me. So I think every situation is different. Most guys would feel kind of bad, I think, about committing a flagrant foul like that.
I think what's important is that point that you made. Is most times you make a foul like that, guy comes over to check. He didn't go over to check on Caruso at all. And Caruso made a point to mention that after the game. Like, he never has called, checked up, sent a message. Anyway, and that's fine. That's how you want to play it. But here's the issue. Grayson Allen has been this guy for a long time.
Yeah.
He hasn't necessarily got enough playing time to be this guy at the NBA level. But he certainly was this guy on multiple occasions at Duke. And he gave the same impression. Like, he didn't really give two you-know-whats.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if an eye for an eye, as you said, that's kind of slippery. But if a guy does have to miss significant time, like a Caruso, maybe up to a certain amount of games the other guy should have to miss.
Yeah,
because Caruso's, he might not be a starter, but he's a huge part of why the Bulls are in the position that they are in. And for him to be out 6 to 8 weeks on a play that was, you know, frankly dirty, I think a one game suspension doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, it doesn't do it for me. And I just wonder if the league office even mentioned, you know, met with Grayson Allen, because I just wonder if there was any kind of, you know, it's kind of like Andy Reid meeting with his linebacker, the Kansas City guy, and saying, hey, I talked to him, you know, we've worked it out and he's going to play. But I'd like the NBA to talk with Grayson Allen.
Just
conversation.
Does
this
right?
guy care at all that he acts the way he does out there? Because it doesn't look like it.
Yeah,
and that's troubling to me.
Yeah,
that is troubling.
Troubling, I say, Scraby.
All right, it is troubling.
Let's. What do we got coming up? We got
good.
The good.
The
oh,
bad.
Oh man. Yeah.
And the ugly.
Yeah, it was the greatest weekend.
Don't know how much ugly he's going to be, but
NFL football we've seen in
unless
maybe
you're a Packer
ever,
fan.
Maybe forever. So. We'll relive some of that when we come back on Gwen and Chris after a check of traffic here, 97.3 The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
5:23 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. We got to get to this next segment. Good, the bad, the ugly. Not a lot of ugly this week, Chris.
Absolutely no ugly, as it turned out, Tony. It was just an unbelievable weekend of football. So we changed the name of the segment. Today, we present the good, the great, and the greatest.
Mm.
And we'll start with the good. And it really goes in order the way the games were played. Bengals.
Can you look at Tony real quick? He's playing the organ, the air organ.
He loves this song. We all love this song.
Sorry.
Bengals and Titans, Cincinnati. Led all the way, despite Joe Burrow spending much of the afternoon on his back, 9 sacks. He was able to stay upright long enough to hand off this ball to Joe Mixon.
Burrow under center, Mixon back in at running back. It's a run to the right for Mixon, cuts back to the left. He's at the 10, toward the pylon at the 5. High stepping into the end zone.
Yes.
Touchdown, Joe Mixon and the Bengals. And Cincinnati adds to a 3-point lead.
God, that color guy.
He loves his
brutal.
He loves his woo.
He loves to jump in there. And this time the play-by-play guy was like, and Joe Mixon, and you are not cutting into these calls into the end zone for a touchdown.
He didn't give him any space
he
to
didn't
jump
even
in
breathe.
There. Hey, you know what was interesting about this game? We didn't talk about it. They never let Derrick Henry get going. I've seen Derrick Henry had slow three quarters, but he always eventually gets that one big run that seems to change the momentum. They never let him get it.
The only big run of the game was the other guy.
Yeah.
Got one.
Yeah.
Devontae Foreman got a good one. Anyway, Bengals 16-6 after that touchdown by Mixon, but Titans fought back, tied it up. Just like every game this weekend, it was decided on the final play for Cincinnati.
McPherson ready from 52 yards away. Clark Harris will snap it back to Kevin Huber for the win. The snap, the put down, the swing of the right leg.
Yeah, baby.
It's on its way.
Yeah,
it is good.
Yeah.
Coffin nails.
Bam, bam, bam. That is unbelievable.
Do you think that I listen to this? I think the color guy just or the play-by-play guy just gave up.
Is good.
Yeah.
Coffin nails.
Bam, bam, bam. That's unbelievable.
That's
got to be
infuriating.
That's
got to be insufferable.
Bam, bam, bam.
What the guy? He doesn't even get the call. This actually angers me for fans of Cincinnati. He doesn't even get to call if the kick's good or not with this yo-yo, as Chris would say, going, woo, yeah. I'm actually, like, mad for him.
Bengals over the Titans, 19-16.
Yo-yo.
Saturday night in the frozen tundra of Green Bay, the San Francisco 49ers could muster nary a touchdown on offense. But their defense played brilliant, and their special teams came through late in the fourth quarter.
Got five times last week in Dallas. They blocked the punt. They blocked the punt, and Bjork has it rolling free.
Pick
on
up.
The goal line, the 49ers swoop it, and Talanoa Hufanga scored. Touchdown, San Francisco. They blocked the punt.
Oh my God! The both broadcasters sound like you're going to start crying.
Yeah,
so
he
excited.
It sounded like they were all yelling the whole game and had lost their voice by that point.
Maybe that. It was about as exciting of a 13-10 football game as you'll ever see. It was
true
tense.
Facts.
It was back and forth. Great players on both sides, and just like the Bengal game before it, it was won on a final kick.
And Robbie Gould to kick the 49ers to the NFC title game.
He does have.
We'll try to win it here from 45. Pepper snap is a little high, pulled down by Wisnowski. Robbie Gould has it away, and it is good.
My throat hurts for him.
I need some lozenges at this point.
Man. I gotta say, I can imagine I'd have been pretty happy if I was a 49er faithful. They beat the Packers 13-10 in Lambeau Field. And as Bob Papa yelled, they move on to the NFC
Greg
title.
Greg Papa.
Love the film that came out of Robbie Gould kicking field goals with the band on the field. And they showed him doing it last week in Dallas as the cheerleaders were on the field. Like
He doesn't care.
He didn't care at all.
He actually
got some work in. It was like, all right, these fans are right in my face, or these cheerleaders are right in front of my face. Works like the offensive line.
He was kicking field goals right over the field of the cheerleaders
last
week. He'll do it again next week because you know how superstitious all these guys are.
Yeah.
49ers in, Bengals in. We go from the good to the great. And that was the Sunday morning game between the Los Angeles Rams and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady, hardly astonishing, but he comes back from 27-3 down, ties it up in the fourth quarter, only to see Matthew Stafford do this. Hitting Cooper Kupp to set up a game winner.
Deep down the right side. He's got Kupp running down the hash marks. He reels it in at the 15. Cooper Kupp has the catch. Tackled at the 12.
And the Rams had to rush up and get to the football. They had time to spike the football and set up this game-winning attempt for Matt Gay.
Matt Gay, with 4 seconds on the clock, will attempt a 30-yard field goal from the left hash. Hits it with the right foot. Kick on its way. It is through. It is good. Matt Gay brings it home. Los Angeles will host the NFC Championship game next Sunday at SoFi Stadium.
30-27, the Rams over the Buccaneers in a classic game. And after you see three games in a row that are decided by a final field goal, if you're me anyway, you ask yourself, all right, what can Buffalo and Kansas City possibly do to top all of this?
Real quick, before we go to that, did you see Stafford after he completed the pass? He was on somebody's. One of those offensive linemen was not moving as fast as he wanted to.
Oh, yeah, get down here.
He was like, get down here.
I am not completing this pass for no reason.
For his clock to run out.
You are going to get
all over whoever that was.
Yeah, he was. He was definitely adamant about that.
Anybody else think, hey, Dallas Cowboys, take note of this whole spike situation that's happening right now?
There's a whole lot of things that Dallas Cowboys could take note of in this last weekend.
Here's one thing they could take note of. Here's a stat I saw. The Chiefs' last two plays took 13 or 12 seconds.
Yes.
Less time than the quarterback draw took for Dallas
yes,
to
it
run.
Did.
It did.
That was
week.
One of the many things they could have learned from.
Yeah. All right, on to from the good to the great. To maybe the greatest, Kansas City and Buffalo. What a duel between Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. If you had no interest in this game, you still couldn't help but be excited by the finish. Let's take you through some of it. Bills down 26-21. Late fourth quarter, Josh Allen drills one into Gabriel Davis.
Fourth down and 13 yards from the Kansas City 27. Shotgun snap. Josh looks, pumps once, fires a strike into the end zone, man wide open, touchdown! Gabriel Davis, touchdown Buffalo! A laser from Josh Allen, a touchdown for Buffalo, and they take the lead with a minute 54 to go.
And that was only the beginning of the finish in this game. 29-26 after the Bills hit the two-point conversion. But as the broadcaster so fatefully said, a minute 54 to go, and that was a long time. Chiefs hardly needed much of that to retake the lead on this strike from Mahomes, to Tyreek Hill.
Second and 10, Mahomes at his own 36. Down by three. Three wide to the right, one wide to the left. Mahomes over the middle. Cut Tyreek Hill up to 45. Angling right, 40. 35, Cheetah. 25, 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Kansas City. A 64-yard touchdown!
Is he officially the fastest guy in the NFL?
Yes.
Or do we know?
I don't think we know. But
I mean, I don't think we know either. I can't imagine anybody goes faster than that guy.
Oh, my. He literally ran. That's running away from the defense right there.
Yeah. Mm. Him and Ja'Marr Chase might have a good race, but I think he takes it over Ja'Marr Chase.
He got. But the thing that was exceptional about that is he got the full speed, like, within a step of catching that ball.
Yeah.
And then because the guy who was covering
was
him was right next
him.
To him.
Yeah, and he ran
and
right away
from
him.
He was nowhere near him after it was caught. 33-29 Chiefs at that time. Of course, Allen would come back with another touchdown pass to Gabriel Davis. Chiefs would come back with a field goal as time ran out. I mean, this unbelievable game would carry on into overtime when finally it ended.
36-36 tie in overtime. Chiefs first down and goal to go. Mahomes looks to throw it. Pump faking. Right side he wants. And a comeback cut. It is caught by Kelce. Touchdown, Kansas City. One of the greatest duos in the history of the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce on a push fake comeback. And the Chiefs have won this incredible divisional playoff game in overtime.
Pretty good call by our buddy Mitch Holthuis there, right?
Money.
Money.
You notice nobody's stepping on Mitch.
No. No. I'd like to see the Cincinnati guy in that booth.
Oh, man.
He'd be flattened.
He'd get punched.
He'd get punched out.
Hey, you know what? A couple things. Kelce running his own route to set up the field goal. They had called a different route, and he said, he told Patrick Mahomes, I'm going to run a different route.
Okay.
And he ran
but
it.
But how did Mahomes know what route he was going to run?
I don't know. That's the crazy part.
They're on the same wavelength.
It's crazy. The other thing that I don't think nobody's talked about, and this is regarding both head coaches, Sean McDermott and Andy Reid, how disciplined both of their teams were. And you know that because they had all three of those timeouts in that last minute to be able to make the comebacks that they did. You look at the penalties, the Bills only got penalized three times for 15 yards, the Chiefs one for 10.
That's it.
That is some discipline, and that's why that game, they had the timeouts at their disposal.
How many turnovers were there?
Zero.
Yeah. It was a perfect game in every which way. It was absolutely incredible. And I think it's going to go down because you need time to give everything a little breathing space.
Yeah.
You know, the 81 epic in Miami, the comeback by Brady against the Falcons in the Super Bowl. This one's got to rank up there.
You mentioned it last week. The divisional round has given us some of the best games ever.
A lot of great ones, and that one was really something last night. Kansas City 42, Buffalo 36, the final score. That wraps up our good, bad, and ugly. But as Tony said, there was nothing ugly this weekend. It was an incredible weekend for the National Football League. All right. We take a break. When we come back, Scraby, find out whether we won any money or lost money on these games. Our daily gambit is next as Gwen and Chris continues. Welcome back to the program this hour, brought to you by Auto Club of Southern California. Get a free AAA full picture quote with the Auto Club of Southern California. Wondering if you're paying too much for auto insurance? You probably are. And it's easy to find out at AAA.com/insurance. You could save an average of $483. So stop wondering, start saving. Visit AAA.com/insurance for your free AAA full picture quote. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, the spirit of San Francisco, Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. Got a daily gambit coming up shortly. I did want to give you a couple of quick stats from the playoff games over the weekend, and I told you I had a good Aaron Rodgers stat I'll give to you. Bengals, as most people know by now, did win their first road playoff game after seven losses in franchise history. But one thing you may not realize, Tennessee Titans now have been a number one seed in the AFC playoffs three times in franchise history. They've lost in the divisional round all three times as a number one seed. Brady and Rodgers both not going to the championship round. How rare is that? How about 2009? 12 years since neither Tom Brady nor Aaron Rodgers was in the championship game. That's pretty amazing.
That is.
Buffalo has now lost 9 road games in a row on the in the playoffs. Hasn't won since the 92 AFC championship game in Miami. And Kansas City next week will have a chance to join Miami, Buffalo, and New England as the only teams ever to qualify for three straight Super Bowls. Here's your Aaron Rodgers stat, because we're talking about the legacy of Aaron Rodgers. Did you know Brett Favre, in his entire brilliant, amazing career with the Green Bay Packers, lost 0 playoff games at Lambeau Field? Aaron Rodgers, in his long, spectacular, amazing, remarkable career for the Green Bay Packers, has lost 7 home playoff games at Lambeau Field.
Listen, I think it's a legitimate topic to discuss at some point. Not his legacy, because listen, he's still going to go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. He's got a Super Bowl, but in terms of that top tier spot, that's a lot of home losses.
I think Favre's going to stay ahead of him overall.
And I tell you what else. I mean, look, we expected Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Matt Stafford. We expected these guys to elevate their teams, and they did. They scored 10 points against the Niners. I don't know that's, and I know the conditions are bad and all that, but 10 points for Aaron Rodgers-led offense seems a little skinny.
A little chintzy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a great performance by the 49ers on defense, but you're right. I mean, in this day and age,
right,
there is no such thing as a great performance on defense, because good offense beats good defense in the NFL.
Most 90% of the time.
As proved last night. We saw just unbelievable execution.
And that was against the number one defense.
Kansas City and Buffalo.
Yeah.
So you can go up and down. But, Aaron Rodgers was not really on the same page as his guys the other night. And, San Francisco was able to stay in that game. Obviously long enough to win it.
How icy, no pun intended, was that Packers locker room after that game?
I'm sure they were thrilled, Scraby, jumping up and down, celebrating.
Icy.
Just as the 49ers would have been doing had they lost.
Icy.
He's feeling himself right now. I'm gonna give him the day. I'm so up and down today, guys.
Like for one, you know, sometimes I'm like ready to scream from the rooftops about how great the 49ers are, and then I want to
be like, please don't.
You know what? They still have to play another game before they get to the Super Bowl.
That is a fact.
Yeah, I know.
they definitely have to play another game.
I honestly keep forgetting about that.
they definitely have to play another game.
And the Rams,
after six straight losses to the 49ers,
I had some wrong information earlier.
Yeah.
They're going to be ready to play.
Let me tell you something. It's one thing to beat a team twice in a year. Beating them three times in the same season
is difficult.
Difficult, but doable. I do have a stat on that. I'm just always full of these stats, aren't I?
Can I request a stat for later in the week?
Can we go ahead and throw the disclaimer that it's a stat and it's not Chris Ello's opinion?
Right, it's
that's
not my
come
opinion.
Out.
22
I
times.
Wanna, I just want to get that clear now before it even comes out.
Yes, thank you. 22 times in NFL history, a team has beaten another team twice, and they've met again in the playoffs. The team that won twice has won the third time 14 of the 22 times.
That is far
out,
man, in
the favor of the team that's won twice.
See, that's different.
Statistically.
I think that's probably different in the game of football than it is the other sports.
Yeah, there you go. I think confidence and matchups mean a lot in football.
It really does. It really does. If you're beating a team twice, there's usually a good reason why you're beating that team twice.
And I think that Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay both know each other so well because they were friends, they coached against each other, that they're going to have to find
some sort of bag of tricks for this game. I won't be surprised at all to see some trick plays in this game because at this point, they both know exactly what the other is going to do. Yeah. So you got to find a wrinkle in there somewhere.
You do.
I can't believe I got to kind of secretly, quietly root for Sean McVay. I'm not a fan at all.
Oh, yes.
Welcome to my world. I had to root for the 49ers last week.
How about this? If the Rams
and the week before because they played Dallas.
If the Rams win, this will be the second year in a row that the
home team's host makes it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
And it could be the Chiefs as the opponent both times. We'll see.
Ooh.
There's a lot to be said.
Mm-hmm.
I will also give you another. I'll give you another one on
give
that
us another
line.
One.
All right, the Bengals have been to two Super Bowls. If they make a third, could they play the 49ers for a third Super Bowl?
No way. People were saying that for nostalgia, that's the right word. I don't know if that's the word you're trying to use.
But I felt so weird like it wasn't saying it right. But the nostalgia people were saying would be great for that Super Bowl. I don't know, Chris. That's not the Super Bowl I want to see.
Let's be honest.
No, I don't either. But were the 49ers and Bengals... Did they have like great lead-ups to their games back in the 80s?
Not really, but they had two pretty good Super Bowls.
They did.
In 81 and one in 88.
Both games were good.
The 88 one was the John Taylor catch. The 81 one was the 49ers' first Super Bowl. And 49ers had a glorious goal line stand, held on to a 20-0 lead in that game. Both games were one-possession games.
You think the NFL is hoping for Kansas City Rams, right?
I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
There's no way they want Cincinnati in there. With all due respect to Joe Burrow, he doesn't have the same cachet as Patrick Mahomes.
Not yet. Not even close.
So, all right, let's get to traffic and then today's Daily Gambit.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris, and we're going to have to go through this a little quick to fit in all the bets that we made last weekend, so let's get right into it, and we're going to start with a five-star bet by BetQ. And that five-star bet was the 49ers and the Packers. They were saying to take the 49ers at plus 5.5. Chris, you went Packers. Tony and I went 49ers, and as we know now, the 49ers went 13-10. Tony and I win, and a five-star bet wins! Tony told me one time I ruined it when I sang it, so I almost sang it, and I stopped singing it. I love that song, so that was
Let it breathe, Scrammy. I'm trying.
The next bet was also a five-star bet from BetQL. It was the Rams at the Buccaneers, and the Buccaneers were favored by 2.5 points in this one. Chris, you and Tony took the Rams. I took the bets. This was a five-star bet, so the Rams were at plus 2.5. They won 30-27, and unfortunately, the five-star bet loses. That's a bummer. That's a bummer, everyone.
And the bad news there is if you took one and lost the other, you are a loser at the betting window. Because Vegas takes the extra money left over when you split. Did that make any sense?
I'm trying to.
If you bet $100 on one game and win, you get $100.
Yeah.
You bet $100 or you get $90. If you bet $100 on the other game and lose, you lose $100. So even though you split, you end up down $10.
That's how Vegas makes money. Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah. Just so you're aware.
So me and Chris didn't take the five-star bet.
No, you guys went against the five-star bet. Yes. We were smart. The next game, we all took the Bengals in this game. They were on the road at plus 3.5 over the Titans, and the Bengals won 19-16, so we all win there. Now, Bills and Chiefs, Tony was the only one to take the Chiefs here. They were a two-point favorite in the game, and the Chiefs win 42-36, and Tony wins. Tony's having a great day so far. He has not lost a bet yet.
No, he's good.
Until this one. Uh-oh. Bills and Chiefs, five-star bet. On the BetQL website.
I don't know what I was thinking. Under.
Under 54. Well, until the last 2 minutes, you were
under. That was good. You're right.
It was under 47 points with 2 minutes to go in the game.
That's true.
You're right.
Yeah. Ended up at 70-something.
It's 78, and it was a five-star bet to bet the under. So Chris and I win because we picked over. The total was 78 points, and another five-star bet loses. But honestly, I can't. No one can predict that they're going to score.
Nobody can predict any of it. That's why you don't bet.
But it was following the five-star under until that final 2 minutes. Anyway, it doesn't matter because the results are the results. And then we made a bet on the Rams and the Buccaneers total. It was over 48. Chris and I went over. Tony went under. And it was over because it was 30-27, 57 points total.
Yeah.
Now to our prop bets. Joe Burrow over under 274.5 yards passing at the Titans. Chris and I said over. Tony said under. He ended up with 348 yards. Yeah. So
how's Tony doing now? Update his progress here.
The progress.
Don't you worry. I bounced
Tony's
back here.
He's bouncing back here. Three in a row. Mike Evans over under 68.5 receiving yards. Tony did say over. Chris and I said under.
So he does win this one.
Mike Evans, that's right.
You were the contrarian
That's
true.
I was. Mike Evans went 6 catches, 119 yards. Travis Kelce, over, under 70.5 receiving yards. All of us chose over. All of us win. He went 8 catches for 96 yards. Now, this one was a fun one. Debo Samuel.
Ooh,
over,
this was
under
close.
40.5 rushing yards. Chris and Tony said over. I said under. And Debo was 10 rushes for 39 yards. Oof. He needed 2 more yards, and you guys would have won that bet. But
that's all right.
The last prop bet with the players was Aaron Rodgers over under 261.5 passing yards. Chris and I said over. Tony said under. So Tony wins that one again, 225 yards.
Tony Gwynn Jr. going to be buying dinner tonight.
Yes. Now, divisional round, highest scoring game. The Bills and the Chiefs were even, and Chris was the only one to win this one. He said Bills Chiefs. Tony said Packers Niners, or Packers, and I said Rams. So, Chris, you were the correct one there. Now, divisional round least points scored. The 49ers were the favorites in this category. I said Bengals. Tony said Bengals. Chris said Titans. And unfortunately, the 49ers were the lowest scoring team, but they ended up winning. That's crazy.
They weren't the lowest scoring team. The Packers were the lowest scoring
team. Already had 10. That's right.
I mean, the 49ers outscored the Packers.
What an idiot am I? That's right.
God.
God, that was dumb.
Even I know that the 49ers scored more than the Packers.
Well, you always said math wasn't your best
subject. Math and numbers and being right,
that's
apparently.
That's not math. That's just awareness.
It's just looking at numbers.
Yeah. I guess being a factual
the
is
the lowest
is a hard
scoring
thing for
team
me.
Of the weekend was a team that won.
That doesn't make any sense.
A light should have gone on somewhere.
Ding! It didn't. Yeah, it didn't until this moment. And I even went
in your defense, I look over all of this before the thing and I didn't catch it.
You didn't catch that one.
Most passing yards. Most passing yards of the divisional round. Chris and Tony took Stafford. I took Josh Allen. Patrick Mahomes was the guy. Oh. 378 yards. He was the favorite in the category. Divisional round, total points scored. It was over under 198.5 points. Chris and Tony took the under. I took the over. Total points scored, 193. So,
wow,
by
they
five
still
and
come
a half
pretty
points.
Close. Yeah, they still come close.
Last bet, divisional round, most points scored, AFC versus the NFC. We all chose AFC, and thank you to the Bills and the Chiefs for pushing that total way up. AFC won 113-80 in the NFC.
So the AFC was the higher scoring conference,
yes.
And we all won that one.
Yes, we did.
Sounds like a pretty successful weekend for us.
Yeah, definitely for Tony.
It's been a successful evening for all of us. Hope you've enjoyed the first 3 hours of the show. Happy Hour is coming up next, and I believe it includes a return of PPP.
The PPP!
All right, Scraby. Easy now.
Strong, quite wow. Strong.
Just Padres pen pals, that's all.
PPP!
Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.